Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call this meeting to order of the City Council of University City for January 28, 2019. Ms. Reese, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay. Councilmember Carr.
Present.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hales.
Here.
Councilmember Cusick.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Here.
Mayor Crowe.
Here. Thank you very much. The agenda was, there were no changes made to the agenda during the study session. There was no discussion on any items, and it was passed or approved, so we will move forward with the agenda. With the one typographical error, we will apologize to Gerald Tears for calling him John, so the agenda has been changed to correct that. There are no proclamations this evening. You have before you the minutes of the regular session from the January 14, 2019 session. Is there a motion that they be approved? Motion by Ms. Carr. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Clay. Is there any discussion? Hearing no discussion, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you the study session minutes from January 14, 2019. Motion that they be approved. Ms. Carr, is there a second? Second by Mr. Cusick. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. I believe, Mr. Clay, you have an appointment.
Yes. Thank you, Mayor Crowe. I would like to appoint Gerald Tears, or nominate Gerald Tears for the Traffic Commission, replacing Curtis Tunsall's expired term.
Thank you very much. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Hales. Is there any discussion? Hearing no discussion, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Swearing in, you'll see that Joe Edwards was sworn into the LSBD on January 22, 2019. We'll now move to the citizen participation segment of the agenda. We have allocated 15 minutes for citizen participation. For those of you who may have just come in, there are sign-up sheets over by the door. Please fill them out and submit them to Ms. Reese. For those of you who are speaking, we ask that you give your name and address. And if you are speaking on an agenda item, we will call you at that time. This particular part of the agenda is for non-agenda items. I also ask that the speakers respect the other speakers and stay within the allotted time limits. The first request to speak this evening is Mr. Gerald Tears.
Thank you. Gerald Tears, 7345 Chamberlain. It appears from examining documents after things were pointed out to me a little bit that the council and the city might have gotten a little bad advice from some of the consultants, and it does not appear that the I-170 project at $70 million is actually viable. At least one of the consultants seems to have made some rather serious oversights. As a result, the predicted tax income from the project appears to be considerably overstated. It seems clear that the proposed $70 million of TIF bonds cannot be paid off with the resources that appear to be available. By my calculations, the project would need to generate about $300 million plus or minus to pay off the $70 million within the time of the bonds. Well, the project needs to happen. We need the project. We need it with, at minimum, the Costco portion. That's the big moneymaker on this deal. Their annual sales, the internet site Statista says, are approximately $165 million per store, which is a lot. Even if they didn't make that here, that's still a lot of money. That will not support the $70 million. However, if the project can be reduced to work with a TIF around $25 million, it looks like it can work and generate an income to the city as opposed to requiring us to chip in out of pocket. It would also allow the $15 million for the Ward 3 work, in a little different way, perhaps. According to my rough calculations, after the TIF payments, the city could still get over $1 million in general fund money, and $750,000 of that per year made available for Ward 3 would, in 20 years, provide the $15 million that was originally part of the agreement or part of the statements that were made with regard to the project. Alternately, a $10 million municipal bond issue, backed by part of the sales tax income from the 170 development, under this scenario here. Cost about, my calculation says, $900,000 per year over 20 years, and still leave net income to the city. That would provide $10 million immediately in a lump sum, which is probably better than going as on a pay-as-you-go. And it would be similar to the original plan, but it costs more because it's bonds with interest. The city has decent credit. We should get a pretty decent rate, quite a bit less, I would hope, than the TIF bond rate, which I don't know if that's 6.5 or 8 in this case, because I don't know if they're tax-free, something I don't know. The alternatives are, unfortunately, not the original promised deal. But if the reduced-scale development can work, it would be better than the city having to pay out tax money that we now receive out of pocket, on top of not getting any direct income from the development. It would be much better than nothing. I would suggest that the city really needs an independent outside evaluation of the project costs and predicted revenues before moving forward with any further commitments on this project. Thank you.
Our next request to speak is Ms. Sonia Pointer.
Sonia Pointer, 8039 Canton Avenue. I'm a third ward resident, and I do not support the proposed development and want the city council to vote no to its approval. Put the project on the ballot with all of the details so that registered voters can decide what we want for our city. This development is designed to push out black residents and low moderate income residents, business owners of color, and our aging population who are on fixed incomes. The city council should be ashamed of themselves for trying to push such an alarming, problematic project through without the approval of the voting residents of this community. The city council lied and told us that they absolutely would not use eminent domain on owner-occupied homes, but the redevelopment agreement says that they can use it when they want. The city council lied to us and told us that this project is for Third Ward's residents' benefit, but the so-called benefits are being offset by its agreement to allow 100% of the sales tax to go back to paying off the bond. The so-called benefits will take away from our schools that are already seriously underperforming. The so-called benefits of this project will not be absorbed by Third Ward residents who are mostly black because the city council is making sure that some residents won't be able to afford to stay here following the surge in taxes and other costs as a result of the development. Who is really benefiting from this project? A wealthy developer, multimillionaires, and a rogue city council who wants the clout to say that they are responsible for destroying a black community who built roots here. Because that is exactly what this project will do and subsequent developments that the city council is proposing. Development that displaces communities of color where household income is low to moderate is the new version of deed or covenant restrictions that once kept black residents out of certain communities. I've said before that this development is the inception point of gentrification and that the city would not end its displacement efforts at Woodson or McKnight. There are reports that Dwayne Smotherson is already shopping ideas to everybody except Third Ward residents he represents. Couple that with Paulette's sister in law's new business being located in the same area where Paulette Carr fought against MSD's raw sewage tank placement, and you'll see the gentrification is off to a very good start. There are all sorts of conflicts of interest with this project, including Steve McMahon's purchasing property in the Third Ward and selling it to other investors. Conflict of interest as a city council member. People in this community should be alarmed and resist because the city council is not working on our behalf. They are working on their behalf for their own interests, their family and friends, and the behalf of multimillionaires. They are actively working to make this community homogeneous across household income and its correlated race. They want high-income earners to replace residents who are currently here. The city council has said that their goal is to diversify the community. That is a key word for low and moderate income earners be kicked out because they can't afford what we envision for this city, even though those are the residents who have roots here. Third Ward residents are not fools. And just briefly, let me stress, talk about the toxicity surrounding this council. I take mental health very seriously. Obsessive compulsive disorder is a real mental health issue, and I feel for anyone having to deal with it on a daily basis. Some people like me. Some people love me. Some people have been in love with me. But I have never in my entire life had someone obsess over me the way that Petty McQueen does. And I have to say that it's a little creepy. And you may want to get therapy for that. Am I in danger? The way that you and the rest of the elementary school clique in this room harass, intimidate, and bully residents and prior council members is disgusting, and I won't tolerate it. I have watched you folks do this for years to anyone who disagrees with you. With people like this, who needs the mob? It is troubling that you folks are old enough to be my parents and grandparents in some cases, and I have to be the adult in the room. Get your lives together. I don't come here to talk to you and could care less about what you have to say. I come to talk to the council as a private citizen of this community. This may be your Netflix and chill moment at the council meetings, but I would rather not be here. I have other things that I would like to do, but I know it's the right thing to do because we don't really have representation up on this council. If we did, then I could stay home. And the real reason that I'm addressing this toxicity is because the same mob members in this audience are the ones who sit down and discuss me and this proposed development over tea time and dinner with these council members and mayor. The city council has been a part of the toxic behavior going on in this city as well. I have watched these council members and mayor berate citizens and former city council members. So when that toxic behavior is present on our council, then no wonder it is allowed to continue within the audience. Do better. Leave me alone. You cannot impact anything that I do. So keep your comments on the city council. Let's try to improve this city. Let's try to get some things going on in this city that reflect the interests of the community members. Thank you.
Next request to speak is Mr. Tom Sullivan.
Tom Sullivan, 751 Syracuse. I suppose we shouldn't be surprised that there are now questions being raised about revenue projections for the proposed Olive 170 development being way off. The development has been a fiasco from the beginning. Novus has been named as the developer, but the real developers are University City taxpayers. The project summary has shown taxpayers giving $10 million more to the project, $10 more to the project than Novus. This was before the agreement was changed to provide 50% tax abatement. This was before the 50% sales tax going to the TIF was changed to 100%. And how will the 50% tax abatement affect the school district? There have been no explanations. You can't say you weren't warned. People who dealt with Novus and Sunset Hill said to beware, you're dealing with sharks. They say the latest changes are right out of the Novus playbook. It seems you're giving away the city in order to save a badly flawed development. The public continues to be shut out of providing any input before decisions are made. Citizens have been deceived and lied to, and information has been covered up and withheld. The Attorney General's office is still investigating the city for Sunshine Law violations. You have noted, Mr. Crow, that there have been 11 public hearings on the development, yet relevant information has been withheld from citizens 100% of the time for the hearings. The whole process has been a sham. Generally speaking, public officials are immune from lawsuits for actions they take, assuming they have been done in good faith. But that can hardly be said about this proposed development. The members of this council could have millions of dollars of personal liability. I think the time has come to put an end to the proposed Olive 170 development. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Our next request to speak is Mr. David Harris.
Good evening. My name is David Harris. My address is 8039 Gannon. I'm here to speak about the proposed Olive 170 redevelopment project. Since January 14th, when I spoke at the council meeting regarding my concerns about the contents of the redevelopment agreement, I've learned three major new concerns about the project. Here is the first major new concern. The cost-benefit analysis for the project contains a serious mistake about the sales tax revenue available to us from the project. Sales tax revenue from the project will be less than half of the amount estimated. The difference is more than $27 million. This amount is significant revenue we thought we would be getting from the project, and now we will not. It appears the sales tax mistake was made because PGAV planners considered University City a point-of-sale city instead of a pool city. A point-of-sale city keeps most of the sales taxes that it collects. A pool city puts the 1% countywide sales tax and 0.5% capital improvement sales tax into a pool and receives back a percentage of those taxes based on population. PGAV estimated these two taxes would bring us about $30 million. Actually, they will bring us $2.5 million, a decrease of over $27 million. I prepared a table that compares PJV's annual sales tax estimates to corrected estimates. The corrected estimates accept PJV's sales projections, but use the actual sales tax factors for UCity being a pool city instead of a point-of-sale city. I will leave a copy of this table. The second major concern is that the city administration is planning to pay TIF obligations with expected tax revenue from the project that are not required to be used to pay TIF obligations. This plan makes no sense. Maybe there is a good reason for it. However, that reason has not been explained, and the plan was never mentioned in the cost-benefit analysis or during the TIF Commission hearings or other public forums. This expected revenue was supposed to benefit us, not pay TIF obligations. The third major concern is the increased cost for public safety at the project that will not be paid for by the project. Since the first TIF Commission meeting on April 18, 2018, I asked the Commission and this Council several times what increased costs might UCity or other taxing districts incur from the project, for instance, for public safety, that will not be funded from the project. I asked that question because one of the biggest concerns cited with these types of subsidized projects is that other taxpayers are burdened with extra costs. In a meeting with City Manager Rose on July 3, 2018, he said the increase in police would be 6 to 7 officers at a cost of $450,000 per year and no increase in fire protection costs. He explained, however, that Prop P would produce $750,000 per year, so we will have the money to cover the increased costs with a substantial amount left over. I thought he meant our Prop P revenue from the project would be $750,000 per year. Now I understand our Prop P revenue for the project will be less than $10,000 per year. Therefore, we will be supporting the project with another $450,000 subsidy that is paid for by us and not by the project. These concerns call into serious question the economic benefit of the project for us. I recognize we could be wrong about these concerns, but we will need a more specific reply and analysis from the city administration consultants than what we have received so far. I implore the council to have an open dialogue in study sessions or a series of public meetings about all aspects of the project, including its economics and the contents of the redevelopment agreement. If we are going to have this project, and this council has been unquestioningly unanimous in support of it, then we deserve a good deal, not a bad deal. I would appreciate my comments and the sales tax table I prepared being included with the minutes of this meeting. Thank you.
Our final request to speak is Ms. Kathy Stratman.
Kathy Stratman, 6855 Plymouth Avenue. I live in the third ward. I'd just like to, first of all, say Sonia Poynter does not speak for everybody in the third ward. I'd like to thank the council and the administration for working so hard on this project. Obviously, kinks and problems have arisen, but I hope that we can work it all out and make it go through. And I appreciate all your hard work. I still think it's a good project. Obviously, it's so big, and we just need to work out some of those little kinks, I think. Please do. Thank you.
That concludes this portion of the agenda. We will now move forward. There are no public hearings. You have before you the consent agenda, a motion that the consent agenda be approved. Motion by Mr. Hales, seconded by Ms. Carr. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We have nothing on the city manager's report this evening. Am I correct, Mr. Rose? So we'll move forward with the unfinished business. Could we please have Ms. Reese the second reading of Bill number 9377?
An ordinance amending Chapter 400 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City relating to zoning by amending Sections 400.3080, non-conforming lots of record, and Section 400.1020, lot area and with exceptions relating to district regulations containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
Thank you. May we have the third reading?
An ordinance amending Chapter 400 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City relating to zoning by amending Section 400.3080, non-conforming lots of record, and Section 400.1020, lot area and with exceptions relating to district regulations containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Ms. Carr. Is there a second? Second by Mr. McMahon. Any discussion? Hearing none, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Carr?
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay?
Aye.
Mayor Crow?
Aye. The bill is passed. We now have the second reading, please, of Bill number 9378.
An ordinance amending Chapter 400 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City relating to zoning by amending Section 400.3090, non-conforming structures relating to district regulations containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
Thank you. May we have the third reading?
An ordinance amending Chapter 400 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City relating to zoning by amending Section 400.3090, non-conforming structures relating to district regulations containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
May I have a motion to approve? Motion to approve by Ms. Carr. Is there a second by Mr. Cusick? Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay?
Aye.
Councilmember Carr?
Aye.
Mayor Crow?
Aye. Thank you very much. We'll now move to new business. Who would like to introduce resolution number 2019-1? Introduced by Ms. Carr. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Cusick. Discussion on resolution 2019-1, budget amendment number 2. Hearing no discussion, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Who would like to introduce resolution number 2019-2? Mr. Smotherson, is there a second? Second by Ms. Carr. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Could we please have who would like to introduce Bill number 9380? Mr. Hales, could we have the first reading?
An ordinance amending Schedule 3 of the Traffic Code to revise traffic regulation as provided herein.
Thank you very much. So we now move into council reports and business. Any reports from any members of council under this section of the agenda? Mr. Smotherson.
Yes, sir. Mayor Crow and City Manager Rose, I just had a quick question about the commission, and this specifically is in Commission of Human Relations. I'm the council liaison. And as you know, back when in the middle of the summer, the Human Relations Commission decided that they would no longer meet after a certain incident that happened. When would we have a review of that commission? And because I know that we were progressing and having meetings, discussions about the commissions and their status. And so I just kind of want to understand when that will happen with this commission. Thank you.
Mr. Rose.
Mayor, Councilmember Smotherson, it's tentatively scheduled for the first part of March. There are a number of meetings that you'll need to have prior to that, i.e. with the Loop Special Business District, with the EDRST board. As you know, we are trying to get joint meetings. So they are scheduled, but you've got some other ones that you'll need to meet with because of the need to identify what your priorities are, what their operations need to look at like for the budget process.
Any other items for discussion? Hearing none, we... You okay?
Is this the council liaison report?
Yes.
Okay, yes, I do have one. The senior commission
can
met
you please
last
turn on your... You have it? Oh, I can't.
Senior commission met last week. Want to acknowledge that Gloria Nickerson and Wayne Flesch were nominated and elected as chairperson, Wayne Flesch, and vice chairperson, Gloria Nickerson. So we thank them for stepping up and leading that organization. One thing I did want to note is that AARP is offering tax completion services. It is ideally designed for senior citizens, but I do understand if they have capacity, they will assist others with their tax preparation. I believe on our website, Marcia Mermelstein, who is the senior commission staff person, has some information about the services that AARP is providing.
Thank you very much, Mr. Clay. Any other reports? Hearing none. I'm sorry, Mr. McMahon.
I'll be very brief. This last month was Steve Goldstein's last meeting on the Parks Commission, and I wanted to thank him for his service. He had done two terms and had and then rolled off, and I just wanted to make sure everybody was aware of the hard work that he did during that period of time and thank him for his service. And I've already questioned him on what board he wants to serve on next and make sure anybody out in the audience, there is an opening on Parks if they would like to step up and serve as well.
Thank you very much. Are there any more requests to speak from our citizens, Ms. Reese?
No, there are none.
Thank you very much. Council comments? Any comments from my colleagues? Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mayor. I just had one comment to address Ms. Pointer. I know she left, so she will probably read it in the minutes later. My wife did buy property in the Third Ward. She took her own money, fixed up some nice little homes, and now some nice families live in those homes because they bought them. She invested in the Third Ward with her own money. It's not a conflict of interest to do that. Everybody in this community, Ms. Pointer included, could buy a property in the Third Ward right now, regardless of whether or not this project with the redevelopment goes through, and they could fix them up and sell them to families to move in to help the Third Ward create neighborhoods one house at a time, one block at a time, that have just been improved. That's what my wife did. Regardless of if there was money to be made or not, it was a decision that she made that she wanted to help in that area. She took her own money and did that. So I don't know what the problem is with that. It's not a conflict of interest. She can say it all she wants. I'll stand up here and admit to that my wife did that. I didn't. My wife did those projects. That was her decision. It was her own business. She has a business that it was done with. That's how invested we are as a family in the community. I don't see the conflict in being willing to support your community. If Ms. Pointer owns property in the Third Ward and she wants to keep them up to code and rent them out or sell them, that's up to her. She can do that as well. Anybody can. The allegation and it just... It's fun to listen to someone talk about toxicity when they want to make those kind of accusations against somebody. It's fine if she wants to have that opinion. I can handle that. But don't make it... You sometimes look inward. If you want to make those kind of accusations, fine. But we're not being toxic when we're willing to admit the things that we do. That's fine. It's on the public rolls. Those houses were there. They're bought. They're sold. They're done. My wife doesn't own any property in the Third Ward right now. So if you want to say there's a conflict of interest, even at that stretch, find it. But that's for full disclosure. And I'm proud of my wife and the commitment that she has to our community. And for someone to suggest the opposite is, well, it's insulting. Thank you.
Any other council comments? Hearing none, I would welcome a motion to go into closed session according to Missouri Revised Statute 610.021, legal actions. Motion by Mr. Hale, seconded by Ms. Carr. Will you please call the roll?
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay?
Aye.
Councilmember Carr? Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Mayor Crowe?
Aye. Thank you very much. We appreciate you coming out on such a cold evening. Please be safe.